Okay, we are. We start from the beginning of the parak. Eighth parak, parak chet.
Sefer Shmuel Aleph, which is found on page 48. We did see the first pasuk last week, which we'll see again anyway. Basically, what has happened until the eighth parak is we saw that the Plishtim first won a war, took the Arn away, had a plague. Afterwards, the Arn was brought back. The Jewish people also showed disrespect for it, ended up receiving a plague. However, under the rulership of Shmuel, Shmuel was able to teach people to do tshuva, wanting to repent. And in turn, they were able to be victorious. They brought karbanos, sacrifices. In turn, the Plishtim lost this war. And Shmuel set up a rock, which was called Eben HaEzer, the rock which shows that Hashem Zaras protected us, helped us from our enemies. And they were able to reclaim the land which they had before. And that was the basic ending of the seventh parak. So Shmuel was ruling for many years. In fact, the pasuk said, "Kol yimei chayav," all the days of his life. Which, although we saw last week, he was only really a judge for 13 years because he was from 39 until 52 when he passed away. Nonetheless, he's considered to be kol yimei chayav, as we said, a few different reasons. His whole life, that was something which really was his whole focus of his life, was to serve the Jewish people, to serve Hashem, and therefore it's Kol Yimei Chayav. So beginning again on Perichet, page 48. So Vayehi Kasher Zokin Shmuel, the Pasuk says that Shmuel got old, which we'll remind ourselves what that means again in a moment. The Pasuk continues and says, V'yasin as banav, Shoftim Israel, because Shmuel used to travel around from city to city. He very rarely was in his hometown. He used to travel around to teach people, to judge people, make it very convenient and easy for them. However, as he got old, it was difficult for him to do that, so therefore he appointed some helpers, namely his children. So he mentioned that on one level you could say there's nepotism, that like the concept of a melech, the best thing of being born to a king is eventually you'll become king. You might not necessarily be worthy of it. However, certainly Shmuel would not have picked his children to be the next leaders unless he thought they were on some level worthy, which would make sense. If you would have a father like a Shmuel, probably he would he'd be educating his children to be similar to him. So therefore, he decided to he chose his children to be the next leaders to help him out as he got old. Now, the thing that we mentioned was that if Shmuel died already at the age of 52, how is he considered to be a zaken? How is he old, right? So, because at this point he was not yet 52. Perhaps he was 50, 49. He was a young guy, right? So one of the things we mentioned last week was the reason why he died was because of what he said. Gemara in Tainus says that Shaul, who eventually we'll see in this parak, this parak talks about appointing a king. We're not going to see who they appoint yet, but Shaul still ends up becoming the king, and he makes a mistake. Among his biggest mistakes was with Amalek. He decided to show compassion to King Agag, which he shouldn't have. It's okay to show compassion, but to show compassion to people who in turn are not compassionate to you, what's the point of that? So because of that, he was supposed to be killed because he was not acting as a king should. He didn't follow the rules. So Shmuel intervened on his behalf. Gemara says, he said that if Moshe would die before Yoshua, his disciple, how do you think Moshe would feel? He'd feel terrible. Hashem let Moshe die before entering Canaan, which was almost, on one level, a positive thing because he didn't see what would happen. He allowed Yeshua to continue. And therefore, he felt good knowing that there'd be continuity. He said, but if Shaul dies, in my lifetime, I appointed Shaul. I anointed him. So how do you think that's going to make me feel? I don't want Shaul to die. So the Gemara said that Hashem had a dilemma. Good morning. The dilemma was, what should I do? On one hand, perhaps I should... I can't kill Shaul because Shmuel davened on his behalf. So maybe I should kill Shmuel. The problem is, if I kill Shmuel, who is a tzaddik, everyone thinks he's a tzaddik, what happens if he dies at 50 years old, as a youngster? People will say, oh, Shmuel must have been not such a good guy. He pretended, he had a facade, he acted a certain way, but he really wasn't such a tzaddik. Yeah, this was in God's mindset. So I couldn't, so if I would kill, if I would take away Shmuel's life at such a young age, so he would not see me afterwards punish Shaul, what are people going to say? They're going to speak badly about Shmuel, which in turn is a chilul Hashem, right? Because Shmuel was the leader. So therefore, Hashem decided there's only one thing I can do. I need to knock off Shaul because he made a mistake. David HaMelech is supposed to be the next king. So therefore he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make Shmuel look older than he really is. I'm going to give him the appearance of being a zaken. And therefore, immediately afterwards, or a year or two afterwards, people are going to forget how old he really was. No one knows how old he was. There's no birth certificates back then. And they'll think, oh, Shmuel died at 120 years old. And no one's going to have the chutzpah to ask Shmuel how old he is. So therefore, that's how they explain that Vayhi Kasher Zaken Shmuel. Even though Shmuel is really a young guy, Hashem purposely made him Vayhi Kasher. When it happened, that Shmuel became old, even though he really wasn't old at the time. So that's how some explain why Shmuel became old, even though he really wasn't a Zaken. We also mentioned a couple other explanations. We said that he traveled around. Now, if you have a king who's sitting in his palace and he has all the servants, he's getting a masseuse, private massages all day. And so, you can live a little bit, you can live longer because you're being pampered your whole life. Shmuel didn't live like that. Shmuel was the type of person who traveled from city to city. He didn't really have a comfortable night's sleep. We mentioned a couple weeks ago that he didn't even sleep in people's homes. He stayed in hotels or he stayed by himself. He didn't want to intrude and impose on people. And therefore, because of that, that could have taken a toll on his age. He could have aged faster for that reason as well.
Isn't this a very unpleasant explanation of it?
Which one? They're all unpleasant, probably.
Hashem wanted to kill someone like
Shmuel. Well, Hashem didn't necessarily want to, but he had no choice. Hashem had this dilemma. He had to kill Shaul because he did something which deserved to be punished. But Shmuel, being such a tzaddik, his tefillos are so strong that Hashem was not allowed to kill Saul while Shmuel was still alive. So what other choice did he have except to take Shmuel's life? But he didn't want to take Shmuel's life because it would make everyone look bad. It looked like Shmuel did something wrong, which he didn't. And therefore, for that reason, he was made to be a zaken. That's how some explain also, we mentioned the concept of stress. A position of stress makes you look old, or look older because of the position so difficult. And I was actually on the internet, I know you mentioned about the presidents, right, last week. Then I saw a picture of Hillary Rodham Clinton. I was like, holy mackerel. Like, I remember a few years ago, she looked different. So she really aged. I don't know, bad, but...
So good last night.
Well, we all look old.
Not so young.
Well, I don't know. It's just... I don't know, it's just shocking. I don't know. Right, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but... It was that type of picture. But, so they said that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, who was 18, a young guy we mentioned last week, his wife said, great, you're going to be the Nasi, you're going to be the leader, but you're too young. You can't even go gambling. You're 18. You're a little kid. So the miracle happened that he grew 18 rows of gray. Now some explain that David HaMelech, at least in his days, he said that the years of a person is 70. So therefore, it's interesting that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who became older at 18, also according to the Gemara, Shmuel became older at 52. And some explain that that Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had this connection.
They added up to 70.
And the two of them together equals 70, exactly. So we see that perhaps all these different things combined, not necessarily that you can say one independently, all these different things made him as a zaken old. But the point of the pasuk is not to make fun of him and say, yeah, he's an old guy, but to say that he no longer had the ability to do what he used to do, traveling around, therefore he appointed his children to continue on his stead, on his behalf. So we continue now with the next pasuk vet. The pasuk tells us, Vayehi, so he appointed his children to be shoftim. Now who are these kids? Sukkim don't mention anything about them until now. So now we get to hear their names. Vayehi Shem Beno HaBachor, his firstborn son's name, what was it? Yoel. Yoel was Shmuel's oldest son. Vayehi Mishnehu, and the name of his second child, which Masudas Sion translates as Hasheni Lo, Mishnehu means the second to him. What was his name? Was Aviah. So his two kids' names were Yoel and Aviah. Not the most common names, perhaps because of what Pasuk Gimel is going to tell us about them. Shoftim be'Be'er Sheva. So where did they live? There were judges in Be'er Sheva. Now, why does it have to tell us the name of the place where they were judges? And what's the significance that it was Be'er Sheva, which on the map in Israel is in the south? What's the point of that? So we're going to see, let's see the Radak. The Radak says, which is the first wide line in the Radak, Shoftim be'Be'er Sheva. So there's a lot of wide lines here. It's the first wide line, which is underlined. It says, what does it mean there were judges in Be'er Sheva? Why do I need to know that? Seemingly in an unimportant detail. So, Sibrazel Hoidia, this is coming to tell us an important message about the type of people these two kids, Yoel and Aviah, were. Kilu holchu bedarchi avihem. What did their father do? Their father did something unlike them. He traveled around. Right? He was a traveling salesman. However, when it came to his kids, they stayed put. They'd never left their city. They were judges in Be'er Sheva. Radakim kinu shahoyo holich v'soviv al ha'arim. What did Shmuel do? He used to travel all around every little city. Why? Shmuel hatriach es kol Yisrael levo lav l'mishpat. Because Shmuel, being sensitive to other people and their lives, he didn't want to have to trouble them to do justice, to learn Torah. He therefore made it very convenient for them to be able to learn by going to their own cities. He was like a scholar in residence, right? Same concept. It's one thing, not only did his children not do the same thing, right? They didn't travel around. Ella, Eretz Yisrael. They decided to choose a city which is on the border or the edge of Israel. Be'er Sheva perhaps is not a lot, but it's pretty far down south compared to proximity where other people live. And if you live even 30 miles away or whatever, that's not like a 30-minute car ride. This is, you know, days, weeks. That's what it sounds like. But we'll see, even though that's what it sounds like in the Radak, there's actually perhaps a positive spin on this too. We'll see. Ki Be'er Sheva ha'yitzei Eretz Yisrael, because Be'er Sheva was on the border. K'mo she'amar kasev, as the Pasuk says previously, it says Medan bi'ad Be'er Sheva. So it says that when we're talking about the borders of inhabited cities, Be'er Sheva is like the last one. You skip down to the next line, which is underlined, is Abul Shnehem HaYishovim be'Be'er Sheva. Both of them were judges in Be'er Sheva, L'hatriach Yisrael Laval Lehem L'harbo Sechara. That, what did they do? They made it very difficult for Jewish people to come, which again, it sounds like, so they perhaps wouldn't even bother coming, and they'd have a lot of time off. It would be stressful, wouldn't have as many appointments. L'harbo Sechara. And they would also increase their wages. Apparently that's what it sounds like, that they would charge for things. Shmuel, not only did he would not charge people for his lectures, he wouldn't charge people for giving a psak, being a judge, but that's the reason why he didn't stay in people's homes. Because if he would stay in people's homes, people would say, ah, this is why he's doing it, you know, he's getting a nice meal, and perhaps that would also affect his ability to judge people, because he does, you do me a favor, do him a favor there, and then next day he comes into your court, you're going to probably find that person more in favor. It's a concept of taking a shochet, taking a bribe. So Shmuel did everything to stay away from any handouts. Apparently, his children didn't learn that same lesson. Okay. With that said, we're going to continue with the next pasuk, pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel tells us, which the Radak already hinted to, pasuk Gimel says, "Lohalchu banav bidracha," that the children did not go on the proper path. They didn't follow specifically the path of their father. It's interesting, Duracha.
Right, it sounds like it could also be an explanation for the other thing. You know, they didn't travel.
Right, the children did not travel on the same roads. Right, exactly. Right. So it's a different spin of going off the derech. It's like literally, they never traveled.
But
you need to operate Habatsa. This is what did they do? They went after Batsah, which is money. In fact, the Masuda Sion specifically says Batsah is Chemdas Hamamon, that they had a desire for money. Right? They desired to acquire things. Vayichu Shochad, not only that did they do that, they took bribes and they're judges. Yatu Mishpat. And therefore their justice and their judgments obviously were not accurate. Which messed up the entire court system, whole judicial system. So you read these psukim and you say, how is it possible that Shmuel's such a great guy? How is this possible, right? So if we remember
Eli,
what happened with Eli? What did Eli do? Eli's children also went off the derech, Hophni and Pinchas. In fact, it says that Shmuel, when he had a nevuah, his first prophecies, first time he had a nevuah, he didn't want to say to Eli his prophecy, which was basically, you're going to die, your kids are going to die, everything that you live for is going to be destroyed. And then Eli turned to him and said, you better tell me everything. Don't withhold anything, because if you withhold anything, the same thing that happened to my kids will happen to your kids. And they said that even though he did fulfill, he said everything he was supposed to say, the fact that when a tzaddik, like an Eli, who was a tzaddik, said such a thing, it has an impact. So when he heard those words, it somehow affected him, and ultimately his children, that they also became similar to him, to Eli's children.
Well, it was a bad thing for Eli to say.
Right, but the reason why Eli said it was because he was concerned. If he didn't know the nevuah, what am I supposed to do? If you're holding back something I'm supposed to do, so you're, you know. But it was comparable to to some type of a curse. The question is why would he say that? It sounds.
Yeah. Also tells you in a sense that the man is a tzaddik, not necessarily his children because he's so busy being a tzaddik that he has no time to bring up his children. You see this many times that people got up and that their children really don't follow their footsteps because they're
really well, we say that with our presidents, but if you think it's tragic, at that time would be a little different.
Maybe. But that's. We see that a lot of times. We see parents that are a certain way. The children rebel. That's why there's a question, there's actually a dispute. Who's greater, tzaddik or Baal Tshuva? So there's a famous expression that B'makom Shebaal Tshuva Omed, in the place where Baal Tshuva stands, even a tzaddik, a great tzaddik cannot stand. The Baal Tshuva is greater. Why? Because they were able to overcome everything that they had. So how could anyone argue that? Some say that the tzaddik is better. Because the tzaddik is someone who is called like an FFB, from birth. That person has never seen the other side, the dark side, if you will. So they're constantly wondering, wow, it must be great, it must be terrific. A Baal Tshuva was like, yeah, I've been there, done that. There's nothing to impress me. but a tzaddik to do the same thing that your parents did and not change, which means that you're not rebelling, which gives you that you're not independent, you're following exactly what they do, it's possible that that's harder, which is why some children rebel, because of they see all this stringencies, they're like, wow, it must be so great on the other side, and they try it. And that's how some people explain that that's why children, sometimes we don't find the child is like the parent, similar to Eli and someone as great as Shmuel. And that's what it says, that they took bribes. And of course, it's strange because Shmuel, what was Shmuel? Shmuel didn't pick his kids. Was he oblivious? He didn't realize his kids were bad, that they would make such terrible mistakes, that they would take money, they'd take bribes, they would, the whole court system would be destroyed because of them. So Rashi explains over here exactly what this means. And when we find a place which speaks poorly about a tzaddik, you could take it for face value, because that's what the pasuk says. Or you can say a tzaddik, even like Shmuel's children, the fact that it says a negative thing, it perhaps is on their level. Right? Every person is judged based on your own level. You can't be compared. We don't compare you to someone else. It doesn't mean anything. You have different skills, different strengths than the other person. The fact that you have more knowledge, the fact that you have different abilities, it doesn't make you better than the other person, because you could have been born that way with these different strengths. You might have been born in a certain family. That doesn't make you a better person. Right? So therefore, when the Torah says in here, for example, that they took bribes, might not literally mean they took bribes, but on their level, they were such tzaddikim, it's comparable to me, a simple person taking a bribe. And that's what Rashi says over here. Rashi says, on the right side, from Pasuk Gimel, quoting the Gemara in Shabbos, Rabbi Seinu Amru, that our sages say, Lo chatu b'nei Shmuel. Do not say that Shmuel's kids sinned. Don't say it. If you say it, it's a mistake. It's not true. They didn't sin. What do you mean? The Pasuk says they did. So Rashi says, as the Pasuk really says clearly, the mistake that they made was they did not follow in the same footsteps of their father. That's what the Pasuk says. Their true mistake was they didn't do exactly what their father did. That's what their mistake was. Why? What was that? So this is similar to the Radak. Rashi says, Masa b'chol nekomos Yisrael, that Shmuel used to go to all the different places, v'shaftin bareihem, they used to judge in their cities. The Himu also came, they didn't do this, so the question is why didn't they, so they didn't do this, they stayed in Beersheba, but they made such a terrible mistake, they just didn't travel from city to city, they wanted to stay in one city. So Rashi says, quoting the Gemara, that Shmuel's children, Yoel and Aviah, they actually did it l'shem shemayim. They did it for the right reasons, for the sake of heaven, whatever that means. At least in their mind, perhaps, was l'shem shemayim. Kedei l'harbos schar l'chazneim l'sifreihim. The purpose was they had, as in any judicial system, you have the guy who says, all rise, you have the, what's the typewriter? The stenographer. You have all these different people. So, it's one thing the judge himself is not going to be compensated. He didn't, and Rashi is saying they weren't paid. However, he had Chazneihem, which comes with the word Chazn, the one who spoke out, and Sofreihem, those scribes, people had to write down everything, right? The stenographer, all these reporters, right? So he had to pay, they had to pay all these overhead expenses, right? It wasn't just them, and that was it, and an empty room. It was a whole system. It was a sophisticated court. And therefore, the children said, listen, if we do like in the olden days, like our father, he went around, but it wasn't professional. It wasn't done properly. And what are we supposed to do? We're going to travel around with a whole, hundreds, a whole entourage of people. It's ridiculous. I won't be able to find anyone. It'll be too expensive, and they themselves are never going to see their families like us. We won't see our families. We'll make a sacrifice, but we should do that to everyone else? No. So what we're going to do is we're going to find the city. We're going to find a place, Beersheba. That's where our court will be. And in order to be able to pay the people that are working for us, we have to charge. And that's exactly what they did. So that's what it means, according to this explanation.
And as far as the first one, Vayitu, so this was the Yatu. That's for the other people. But it says Vayitu, Haim Atzma. They went after the money. That's what it's saying. Gimel. Vayitu.
Right. That's
they
a simple.
They were going after the money for themselves. Okay, so he also went after the money for the other people, but that doesn't make them good people.
Well, it could be that the reason why they went after the money was in order to pay those people,
the Vayatu.
Right.
But the Vayitu, it says, Haim Atzmon. They went after the money. That's what it says.
Right. Well, that's what the next question is. Dabar Acher. Right. You're right. The simple explanation is yes, they took bribes. The Pasuk clearly says
they did. They not only went after the money for themselves, very nice, they went after the stenographer too.
Right.
And that makes them wonderful.
But it doesn't say two, it's only. They only did it for them. They didn't do it for themselves.
That's the Vayatu, but the Vayitu is for themselves. That's what he says. Haim Atzma. That's how I read it.
Right. Haim Atzma could mean they themselves desired money in order to pay these people. That's possibly what it could mean. That's one.
If you want to believe.
There's different interpretations, but at least according to what the Talmud is saying, and that is textually based, because the pasuk clearly says, "V'lo holchu bana bidrachav." The key mistake was they didn't follow what their father did, which means that they didn't travel around. They stayed in one city, and what was the big deal that they stayed in one city? Vayitu achrei batsa. Now that they had all these people to pay, they had to desire money to pay them. And therefore, so what does it mean that v'yiklu shocha, they didn't take bribes, but it's perception. And they say perception creates a reality. So in people's eyes, you know, you're charging me $500 to go to court, you know, where is this money going? You know, it's baloney. Yeah, it's going to this judge, right? We're paying his salary, right? They have you get all these parking tickets on 116th. So the guy must be their quota, you know? They're not doing it because they're doing it for any good reason. They're just trying to make my life miserable and they need to pay a salary. And that's what people thought. They looked at this court system and said, that's the intention of these children. So that's one way that it's explained. Some actually also said that what was the shochad? That these children were Levian. They worked in the Mishkan, right? That's what Shmuel did. So his children also were Levian. So what are Levim entitled to? They're entitled to Meiser, to certain tithes, right? So the problem again is, there's nothing wrong with giving a Levi a tenth of your produce. That's what the Torah mandates. But the question is, if you're giving it to a judge, you say, oh yeah, I have a $10 million case over here. Oh, by the way, here's a check. I have to give Meiser to you. Wink, wink, you know? So that's, in people's eyes, it's like, well, that's shochad. It's a bribe. Even though they're entitled to it, but that perhaps could make it more difficult for that judge to be able to judge
fairly.
Exactly. So that's how some explain. All right. Moving on to the next pasuk dal. Either way, they saw Shmuel not getting any younger. They saw Shmuel's kids not getting any better. So this is what happened. These kavsu kol zikne Yisrael, all of the elders, all the great leaders of the Jewish people gathered together for a meeting. V'yavo el Shmuel haramata. They went to Shmuel, who lived in his city in Ramah. V'yomer elav, and they said to him, Hinei ata zakanta. No offense or anything, but you're old. U'benechelu holchu b'debrecha. And if you haven't noticed, your children are not going, again, see the language, holchu b'debrecha. They don't go in your path, right? That's how they define their mistake. It doesn't say that your kids are thieves, which was what most people would say, saying they're not acting the same way as you are. They have a different...
They said it nicely.
Perhaps, yeah, they said it.
You put a nice spin on it.
Very nice. So, Atan now, Simo lanu melech, give us a king, l'shafteinu kichol hagoyim. So this is the first time we were mentioned that the Jewish people are interested in a king. And after all, is there anything wrong with having a king? Of course not. The Torah, in fact, discusses in great detail that that's something which every Jewish world is supposed to have. Supposed to have a king. So, and the Torah talks about it. Certain rules the king is supposed to do. Certain amount of money. It says, like, you know, have a certain amount of horses. And things, all things like that. Okay. A certain amount of wives. He's deprived. He only is allowed to have 18 wives, Rashi says. What's he going to do? But that's what the Torah says. The Rashi says over there. So the Torah clearly mentions that it's not only okay, but it's proper for us, the Jewish people, to have a king. So it's great that they said, Simulanu Melech L'shavtenu, give us a king, Kechol Goyim, just like we find all throughout the world, there's kings all over the place, so give us a king also. Ah, exactly. Those are going to be the two key words. Kechol HaGoyim. Like all the nations.
But didn't Hashem say that to Moshe also when he suggested that the people in the future can ask for a king? Didn't he say they will want to just like the other nations? Hashem
yes.
said that.
Correct. Correct. So that's what's the difference.
Right.
Hashem, well, Hashem is saying it as opposed to they. And what did Hashem mean when he said like the other nations? What did they mean?
Be like all other people.
And what did Hashem mean?
Right. Okay. But that in fact is going to be the key words which we'll get back to in a moment. Vayera hadavar b'nei Shmuel. So Shmuel was very upset about this, what they said. Kasher Amru, when they said to Nalonu Melech L'shavtenu, give us a king to judge us. V'yispal Shmuel Hashem, Shmuel davened to Hashem. So what is the point of this pasuk? It says, What got Shmuel angry?
Not about his kids.
Right, not that his kids were bad. I guess he realized that. He didn't even get upset that he was called an old guy, right? That was like, all right, fine, I respect that. But why would you decide to say, Tenu lanu melech l'shavtenu? Give us a king. So therefore, Shmuel decided to daven to Hashem to, what else am I supposed to do? I need to daven to Hashem. Perhaps he'll help us out over here. All right. So, if we look at the Mesudas David, what does it mean when he said in Pasuk Hey, Atah Zakanta, you're old? Just to make fun of the guy, make him feel bad? No, what they were indicating was Tashkocha Lishbot O. You're too weak. You don't have the same strength that you had when you were younger to judge us. If you look down the continuing Mesudas David, when Shmuel decided to daven to Hashem, why was he davening? Shiavulav Hadibor Ladas Ma Yashalahem. He had no idea what to say. He was just, and part of the reason, perhaps, is when he was upset. Right? When a person's angry or upset, the worst thing you can do is take a decision and just say whatever comes into your mind, shoot from the hip. So therefore, he decided to daven to have this inspiration to find out the proper thing, the proper response. So we look at the Radak. The Radak focuses on these words, Kechol HaGoyim. Simulonu Melech L'shavtenu Kechol HaGoyim. The Radak says to appoint us a king just like everyone else. So Amru Rabbi Sengiz Zichron L'Avrach, our sages say, which is found in Sanhedrin, Shloshim Mitzvos Nitztavi Yisrael. When the Jewish people enter Eretz Yisrael, Canaan, in the days of Yeshua, there was three things they had to do, three jobs. What were their three responsibilities? Linus Alehem Melech. The one thing is they had to appoint a king. You need to have this level of leadership. Limcho Zera Molech. Other thing is you had to wipe out a Molech. And the third thing is Linus Beis HaMachira, to build the Beis HaMikdash. Those were the three jobs a person would have to do when you get into Israel. So the Radak asks the question that we had, which we already addressed. In Cain, if so, why was it such a terrible thing in Hashem's eyes? Why was it so bad in Shmuel's eyes? That's exactly what they're supposed to do. When you go into Israel, and they're in Israel, the question is why wasn't there a Melech before this? But certainly, they're doing nothing wrong. You're supposed to have a king. That's one of the three things you're supposed to have, supposed to do. So it says Lafi because Shibtarumos Aluoso Blolashem Mitzvah. The reason why is that what was their reason why they asked for it? They did it not for the proper reasons. They didn't do it Lashem Mitzvah, for the sake of the fact that the Torah tells us to do so. They did it for their own reasons, their own benefit. They thought on their own it was a good idea. Oh, it happens to fit into the Torah's perspective, but that's going in the opposite order. You're supposed to do what the Torah says, and then perhaps afterwards say, okay, Nasa Nishma, I'll do it, and then they'll understand. And I'll, like, I'll do it, and oh, by the way, what my world philosophies happen to squeeze in somehow to the Torah philosophies. Ki ilu omru to Nanu Melech Shishvateinu B'yosher B'mu'unav. He said, you know, we want someone to judge us so that we'll properly, faithfully, so that we in turn will act properly. That wouldn't be considered a problem in the eyes of Shmuel. So the way that one of the answers the Radak says, and we'll see the other famous answer the Radak says, which is the next two lines from there, that the problem was the way that they approached the question. They didn't do it with Shem Mitzvah. They didn't do it because they thought there was a spiritual or Jewish reason to do it. They just thought it was a good idea. And therefore, that's what bothered Shmuel. But oh, jumping two lines, Sha'amru kechol hagoyim. The problem is the language. We want to be just like the nations in the world. We want to almost like assimilate and be just like them.
I wanted to say something.
Yeah.
So in Ur, they had a king, but for 7 years. It was elected absolute monarch for 7 years. And then 7 years later, they'd get another one. So it was almost like a president, but with absolute powers.
But is the difference between elected, someone who's elected, and a king?
Chosen,
right, because the person who is elected, who's really ruling?
Right. But he was ruling absolutely, like an absolute monarch.
Right. But only for a certain amount of time.
Yes.
And he wasn't able to have a second term or anything.
No.
They say, like, when a president, one of the things I learned in my economics class is, the first thing a president of the United States does, the second that they become elected into office, is do anything in their power to get reelected. That's their goal. The second you become president, your whole goal is in 4 years to be reelected. That's your whole purpose.
Right.
So therefore, when it comes to a president, unlike a king, you're not really leading. You're saying things, you're doing things which will give you votes, will give you popularity, but you're not really doing what is necessarily the best interest of the country. You're doing what everyone else thinks is the best interest. That's the idea of a president. But a king has absolute sovereignty. He can do whatever he wants, which on one hand he can get out of control, which we find many times in history.
But if there's a term limit, he sort of got to watch his P's and Q's.
That's
right.
What was that?
Shaul
is going to become the king soon. He will eventually become the king. So we're not going to see that in this parak, but we'll be introduced to it. But that's the they also say the problem with in the United States of having a president for 4 or 8 years is that their thinking is always short-term thinking because their goal is only for small increments. But someone who's a king has a greater vision of what's best for their country because he knows I'm going to be around for 50 years or whatever, right? And then I'll give it over to my kids. So therefore, they perhaps make better decisions.
There's no accountability.
Well, that's the no checks and balances. So, but the pug. So Radak says kechol agoyim. The problem is that they're not that we want to be like the other nations. The Radak says v'heimu hayitzrichim kechol agoyim and. They do not need, or they should not be, like all the nations. They're different. Klai Yisrael is considered to be the light unto the nations. We're not supposed to emulate them. Rather, they should emulate us. And therefore, that was where Shmuel was upset. That's where he was enraged. Okay. So, continuing with the next pasuk Zion, continuing with the next page, Vayomer, what did Hashem say to Shmuel? How did Hashem react to this? The Yomer Hashem El Shmuel, he said, listen, between you and I, Shema B'Kol Am, listen to the voice of the nation, K'chol Asher Yomer Lech, whatever they say to you. And don't get too upset, Shmuel. They don't think you're a bad guy. They don't think you're a bad judge or leader. Ki lo oscham asu, Ki osi mo'asu mi mo'chleim. It's not me that they despise.
No, it's not you.
It's not you, Shmuel, right, that they despise. It's me, Hashem. They don't have anything wrong with you. Nothing wrong with you as a leader. They are rejecting myself, and rejecting God. Kechol ha'masim asher asu, like all the things that they did, miyom ha'alosa osam in Mitzrayim, from the time they went from Egypt, went up from Egypt, because they said Israel is on a higher place, v'ad ha'yom hazeh, until this very day, yazvuni v'abdu Elohim acher, they went and worshipped idols, kein heim ha'osim gam loch. This is what they're doing to you. Now, they're just rebelling, not because of you. It's one thing if they were great throughout history, and under your reign they're making mistakes. Then perhaps we can point a finger at you. But look at the broader picture. The broader picture is, before you came here, they were also acting inappropriately. They were not always perfect. So therefore, the fact that they're doing this now, it's not a negative reflection on your leadership, but it's that they don't have the connection that they should to Hashem. And that's what they were saying. So if you look at the Masudas David, the Pasuk Ches, it says, Kichol Hamasim, like all their actions, Ratzalomer, the Masudas David says, Ein Zedavar Chadash Etzlam. There's nothing new. This is old news. Right? It's nothing too unique. So if you look at the Radak, and the Radak over here says that what they do is Gam Loch, is also, they're doing it to you as well. What does it mean? Perish Imcha, with you, together with you. Kolomer Afal Pikein, Shi'ata Imahem, even though you're with them. Yatzasal Ifnehem, Bimachotehem, that you went out with them in their wars. Vatzlichu, and were successful. Adasher, Hashlomoslehem Oideihem, that they were, their enemies were handed over to you, and there was peace in the world from their enemies. Adashul Hutzrichul Melchama, so much so they don't even to be engaged in war anymore. Ki Hashivosam al Derech Tova, and you brought them back to the proper path. You did everything great. Aval Piki, nonetheless, Ata now Mardubi, they're rebelling. Gam Imcha, Lisholahem Melech Mashul Hoytzvichim. They're asking for a king, something which they don't really need. Because what have they seen? They didn't have a king. What's the purpose of a king? To protect them, to have a strong army. But Hashem was able to intervene and defeat the Plishtim without a king. Hashem was the Melech. So the reality is that what they're doing is something which is not necessary. Continuing in the next Pasuk, V'atah now, Shema B'koyim, listen to their voices. Ah, however, there's one thing I need for you to do. Ki hoyed toyed bahem, warn them, give them proper warning. Figad lohem mishpat ha'melech, tell them all the laws of kings, asher yimloch aleihem, that's going to rule over you. Whatever king, all the different things that kings are allowed to do, let them know, so that they're going to walk into this deal with open eyes. They're not going to just think, oh yeah, it's nice, I'm a king, it's fun, it's all good. Let them understand what it really entails, having a king ruling over you. So, Pasuk Yud, Vayomer Shmuel, is Kol Divrei Hashem. Shmuel said all everything, he responded to these, to the Zikne Yisrael, and he said everything that Hashem said, El Am HaSholom Yitol Melech, to the people that asked for a king.
Do you know why this space is here?
No. I mean, certainly for Pasuk Yud, you have the difference between him speaking to Hashem and then now he's speaking to the people. So you see that difference. But I'm not sure why the next pasuk is split. That I don't know. Unless it's almost like a colon. This is what he was about to say, next paragraph. These are the next psukim, which we'll see quickly, of all the different rules that a king has over his servants, subjects. The Omer, and he said like this, Zayyeh Mishwan HaMelech, this is the concept of the rules of a king, Asher Yimloch Aleihem, rule over you, Es B'neichem Yikach, first of all, you can take all your sons, V'semlo b'merchavto v'rashav, he can put them on his chariots and on horses. V'ratzalifnei merchavto, they're going to be, they'll have to run in front of his chariot. They have to show honor and to protect him. To all your sons that you were hoping they would take over your family business, forget about it. The king can just go and say, they're in the draft, right? Mandatory draft. They're coming and serving
you.
They're loose, right? The losim lo sarilafim, the sarichamishim, and the whole point, officers of thousands and fifties, v'lachrosh charisho, and your fields which are plowed, v'litzer katsiro, and harvested, v'lasus klei malat milchamto v'klei rikbo. And he'll take all these different things in order for his war and to be able to build up his chariots and build up his army. Yes, that's your sons. You're saying, well, big deal, I happen to have only daughters, right? Imagine that would be the case, so that doesn't affect me. Well, the reality is, you're not safe either. Best, but Oseichem Nikah, he also has the ability to take your daughters. What are they going to do? At least in those days, Kachos, Tabachos, Lapos. They'll be involved in different things.
For
medications, and to cook, to bake, and to, you know, to prepare things for the king, prepare things for the king's army. So they're going to be taken away as well. So all your kids are going to be gone. You still want a king? Maybe. So let's listen on this. Yes. So there's Seichem, your fields, there's Karmechem, your vineyards, there's Eisechem, and also your olive gardens, Atovim Yikaf, which they're all good. You see how beautiful your farm is. He's going to take that all from you. But Nasan La'avadav, he's going to take all these things, and he's going to give it to his servants, his subjects. He's going to give it to the people that he wants. Yeah, he'll take whatever he wants. And who's going to stand up to him? Mizareichem v'karmeichem yasor. And the fields that you have left, your vineyards, yasor, you have to give a tenth. You have to give a certain percentage of taxes. He's going to tax you like crazy. I wish taxes were only 10%. That's what it'll be. V'nasan l'saritza v'avodah. But again, he'll give it to the subject. Okay? Yes, abdeichem v'shekoseichem, his servant, his slaves, his maidservants. Yes, v'choreichem atovim. All your servants, all the people that worked for you, all your employees, he's going to take them, he's going to take your donkeys, he'll take your livestock, your animals, he's going to use them for his own work, right? So these are all the things so far that he's going to do. Now, based on this, it sounds pretty ridiculous because it sounds like the king's a thief, a crook, right? So if you see the Radak over here, which is on by Pasuk Tet Vav, which is in the middle of the wide lines, says Rabbi Sein Zechun Lebracha Perishu, that they explain Lo Sheikach Asados Hakrum. He's not going to actually steal your fields, right? Because he's not going to do that. Why would he do that? What is he going to do with them? Ella Perosayim, the fruits which come from those fields. Im Itzrachu also, if they need them, Avada. Let's say he has an army that's walking by, Kishiyalchu Mechama, they're walking to war, they happen to walk through your fields. So what do they do? They walk around your field? They're going to walk right through, and Yishetu Komos, Im Englehem Mayochul, they'll go into those places and they have no food. Sham Yichu Osam, they'll take all your fruits, all your produce. The Nas and Estimehem. However, it says, don't worry, they'll pay for it. They'll give back the money. Right? The soldiers, they're really honest guys. They'll pay, you know, they have a little scale to measure the amount of how many pounds of apples they took. Oh well, master tua peros at son who mishpat b'chol eis yirtzeh. When it comes to the other things, those are things which you can take whenever you want. So those are real taxes. However, they're not going to actually steal your fields. However, they can easily go in and take whatever they want. And if you're lucky, they'll pay you back. Don't count on it though, and if they don't, you don't have much to say. Okay, so continuing back in the Pesukim, Pesuk Yud Zayin, second line from bottom of page 50, Somchem Yasor, he'll also not just tithe your foods, but also your sheep, your animals, V'atem Tiyu Lo Lavodim, and you'll be his slave. All right, so when all this happens, you have no kid, your kids will be taken away, your fields, everything's going to be terrible. So what are you going to do? You're going to say, what on earth did we ask for? Be careful what you ask for. Sometimes it comes true, right? And what will happen? You're going to cry out, you chose this king. You're going to be crying out, saying, we don't want him. God, get rid of this king. Let's go back to the good old days. Hashem will not answer you on this day. Why? Because you made your bed. You sleep in it. So these are all the different things they're going to do. They're going to need a place to sleep, like the quartering act. They'll do whatever they want. They'll come into your home. They'll confiscate things. Sure, you still want this? Top of page 52. Pasuk Yotet. However, did the nation care what Shmuel said? They could care less, the words of Shmuel. They didn't listen. The Amru lo ki melech ya'aleinu. We want a king. Ba'inu gam anachnu kechol goyim. Again, we want to be like all the nations. V'shaftanu malchenu to judge us as our king. V'yatzu lefaneinu to go out before us. V'nilcham es milchamoseinu and to wage our wars for us. Again, why would they want a king if Hashem could do it? Again, because if you have Hashem who's intervening, it's completely miraculous, so then I have to act a certain way as well. I have to act in a miraculous way. I have to act in a spiritual way. But if I want to be able to live a normal, regular life like everyone else in this world, so I can get it, we'll fight our own battles. We don't need God, and therefore God is not going to be as particular on my actions as well. But Yishma, that's how some explain that those lines and what the negative of this was.
It certainly painted a very grim picture and a realistic picture.
Right.
And they didn't buy it.
Sometimes you don't know it until you're actually in it. You know, words don't mean much, but he tried, as Hashem told him to. But Yishma, Shmuel is called the Re'amli. Shmuel, being the leader at the time, listened to whatever they said. He had Davin Ba'azne Hashem. And he said this to Hashem. So even though Hashem heard this, but he again responded again to Hashem based on their desire. Last pasuk, V'yomer Hashem el Shmuel. So Hashem said, Shema b'kolam. You should listen to what I told you before. Listen to whatever they said. You gave them the warning. Listen to whatever they said. And Malach Lohemel, appoint a king, as we'll see in the next pair. V'yomer Shmuel, Anshe Yisrael, Luchu Yisrael Le'iro. He said, okay, no problem. Go back to your cities, go back, nothing to see here, it's going to be taken care of, no problem. So, the question is, what is the significance of a melech? What is the significance of a king? So I'd like to conclude with the next 2 minutes, and we'll stop after that, with a piece of Talmud. The Gemara says that there are certain times, if you see a rainbow, you say a bracha, you see different things, you say a bracha. There's also a time that you would see a king. If you would see a king, you're also supposed to say a bracha. What kind of king? Doesn't make a difference if it's a Jewish king or a non-Jewish king, you say a bracha. However, there are different brachos that are recited. So the Talmud says, when it comes to seeing a Jewish king, Malchi Yisrael, you say the bracha, Baruch Shechalek Michvodo Li'Re'av. I don't know this bracha by heart, because
you don't see Jewish kings
very often. Who was Machalik, who divided or apportioned from his honor to those who fear him. Li Re'ah, that's the bracha. Shecholot Mechbod Li Re'ah. Malchei Ovi Kechavim, when it comes, if you see a non-Jewish king, Omer, you also say a bracha, but the bracha is Shenasan Mechbodo Li Briyosav, that you gave from part of your honor, God who's a king, took away from his own honor, gave honor to Libriosav, to his creations. And Omer Rav Yochanan, focus on what those brachos mean in a second. Rav Yochanan says, Li'olam yishtadal adam l'rutz likras malchei Yisrael. You should always run after trying to find a Jewish king. You hear there's a Jewish king that came to Manhattan, you should go there and wait for a couple hours to see him. V'lo likras malchei Yisrael b'lbad. Not only if you hear there's a Jewish king coming to town, should you be cancel all your plans. Even if you would see a non-Jewish king, that's a very important thing to do as well. Why? So the Gemara says, why? Who cares about seeing a non-Jewish king? It says, she'im yiske, because if you merit, yachin, then you'll be able to distinguish Bein Malchei Yisrael l'Malchei Abitukham. The difference between a Jewish king and a non-Jewish king. So we see that, what do you mean, they're both wearing crowns, they both are hanging out in chariots and horses or whatever they do. The point is that there's a significant difference between a Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Abitukham. Their mistake was that they couldn't distinguish between the two. And the bracha, I believe, in conclusion, shows us what's to distinguish. It says when it comes to Chachme, a melech, a king of the Jewish people, it says, Shecholek, that Hashem gave a portion of him. When it came to the non-Jewish kings, it says, Shenasan, gave. So Shecholek, when you give a portion, you have a piece of some, you have a piece of cake, or you have a Kit Kat bar, give me a break on that Kit Kat bar, you break it in half, so I'm giving you a chelek, a part of something which is mine. So therefore, that's what a king is, a Jewish king is, that you are a direct connection to Hashem. When it comes to the other nations, it's nasan. It's Hashem gave it, but it's not necessarily something which is part of him. And they say that, what is this connection? It's the Torah, the spirituality, that's the spiritual side of a king. That's why the king, one of the things, what does a king always have to carry? He has to always carry a Torah, right? Why? What does he have to carry a Torah for? Because he has to remember that he has this connection. And the other key part of this bracha, which will conclude it, it says, when it comes to the other nations, the bracha is, Shenasan Mechvodo Libriosav. I gave it to my creations. However, when it comes to a Jewish king, it says, I gave it, Shechalik, I poured a portion my honor, Lirayav, to those who fear me. And therefore, that's the difference between a Melech Yisrael and the Jewish people in general to other people, is the concept of Yir Shemayim, having proper fear of Hashem. And therefore, the mistake that they had was they're saying, we want to be Kechol HaGoyim, we want to be just like them, and we want to have a king in order not to have a relationship with Hashem. The purpose of a king is to be able to look at that king and say, look how great and powerful this king is. Imagine how great the Melech Malchei HaMalchim, the King of Kings, is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem. Stop it.